דניאל פרק ט. בשנת אחת לדריווש בן אחשוורוש מזרם מדי, אשר הומלך על מלכות כסדים. Let's move ahead to the first year of Dariovish. So this really follows immediately because in the third year of Belshazzar, that was the time of the writing on the wall, and there was the end of Belshazzar, and Dariovish, the Mahdi, he took over. He's Dariovish ben Achashverosh, not to be confused with Dariovish ben Achashverosh, of course. Because, look, I mean, it's all in the family, basically. In other words, Dariovish was grandpa, Koresh's son-in-law, and then we go to Achashverosh down. He was ben Achashverosh himself, so it just kept going down. So, yeah, so it stayed in the family. And so this was the first Dariovish, not from Koresh. The second Dariovish ben Achashverosh was called not for Poras, but from Madai. And that was, of course, that one year that was really the Hashlamah of Malchut Bavel, of the Shivim Shana that had been missing, which we spoke about in the analysis of the possibilities, as the Malbim explained it, of the writing on the wall and what it was that had been found lacking in Belshazzar and how it was that Dariovish took over. In any event, Bishnat Achat L'Malcho, Ani Daniel Binoti Basefarim, it was in the first year of his Malchut that I decided that something's wrong. And I started looking through the numbers, as we would say in English. It's exactly what I mean. I want to look through the numbers. Crunching numbers. The Sefarim, according to most of the Pirushim, means the numbers, not the books. This is a very fascinating Pirushim in which it does mean the books. And the Sefarim, the Mispara Shanim Asher Hayad Var Adonai Yirmiyahu Hanavi, which I had always believed, and I was counting those years, the years that God had said to Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu had said initially that there was supposed to be Malot Shivim LeBavel, but that's when I'm going to punish Bavel, and that's going to be the end of Bavel. Well, he just saw that happen. Bavel was destroyed, basically. Belshazzar disappeared, Dariovish took over, everything was exactly as I expected. 70 years to Achashverosh, to Nebuchadnezzar, and nothing happened. And I got extremely upset, because what I thought this meant was that we really have lost our opportunity for Geula. Now, this is a very funny thing to think, one would think. And yet, remember, throughout this Sefer, what we've discovered is that all of these kitzim have so many levels of interpretation. Are they meant as a particular time? We're calling them kitz. And we talk about, be careful not to be mechashev kitzim, and yet everybody's being mechashev kitzim, and then as Rashi says, well, you know, as long as you don't take it too seriously, move on. If it doesn't work, take the next kitz. Let me take the next kitz. Well, when you find out that's no good, take the one after it. So the question is whether, indeed, as many of the Mefarshim have maintained, there is meaning to each one of those cheshbonos. In other words, there are indeed meant to be nodes of time where there is reason to believe that there could be catalyzed massive changes in Yisrael, in the relationship of Yisrael to the Uveis, that indeed are capable of creating the conditions necessary for the paradigm changes for Geula. And if that's the case, if that's meant to be taken seriously, then it means that Daniel, having seen the previous vision, is taking upon himself, and we saw that he said, I'm going to do Melechet HaMelech. And there's some that connect the two. In saying, I'm going to do the Melechet HaMelech means that I see for the first time, in having been called the Ben Adam, and now I'm being put into a position of certain, at least, symbolism. And the truth is that it's a multiple symbolism, because what happens here is that Daniel is living a particular period, a local period, in which there's supposed to be an imminent Geula. And during this period is being shown visions of ultimate Geula. The book opened up with the idea, the words, that this Daniel is going to be the Daniel who is active through the time of Koresh. And then the book ends with the words, okay, Daniel, hold on for a few thousand years and we'll wake you up when it's time, we'll defrost you. And that's a very different time scale. So then that means that he realizes that we talked about him yesterday as a Leviathan type of figure, he's a multi-leveled Leviathan. In other words, he's supposed to individually live through and actually be active in the events of the local Galut Geula. And on the other hand, he's being shown something that is overarching the entire period of creation, really. And the two become linked in yesterday's Nevi'ut, Chazyonon, of Ben Adam. It has to do with the human condition, the development of the human condition, and all these events that take place in between. He's also personally involved. And now it takes a certain personal responsibility for seeing that things should get done. So if that is the case, and we understand that there are multiple interpretations to these kitsim, then it makes sense to attempt to do something about it. That's the first issue. And therefore, he takes it upon himself to try to change, to try to use tefillah and teshuvah and to fast and to make people recognize that this is a period that could be a geula. And that maybe that was just a horrible gezeirah, that there's going to be a forever, you know, and thousands of years. Maybe there's still a hope that that original vision of Yirmiyahu would be true. Maybe. Maybe we could make it happen. So that already shows the fluidity that he's come to recognize for the first time in all of this. It does have to do with the interrelationship. Up until now, it was like things that were going to happen. It has to do with the relationship of Yisrael to the events. It's not just the events. The exact same thing happens, by the way, in terms of Rosh Hashanah. So you have the idea of Rosh Hashanah. We have that beautiful medrash about, you know, the blowing of the shofar. The Sultan is convinced, the Gula has come, it's the end. What is that supposed to mean? That is supposed to mean that really there is a triggering of issues over here. Time of confusion. The elements of Din, which is completely Daniel. And then the responsiveness to that Din in terms of the change of Teshuvah, which is Din internally. As we've always pointed out, din externally is what tshuva is internally. Din externally is an imposed structure that takes into consideration the total picture of the interrelationship of the events of your life, your choices, your actions, and so on, with everything around you. That same process internally is your organization of your own personal history into a concern for an identity that then jumps up in scale, and we call that tshuva. And that's why the Asarsi made Teshuvah and Din are interrelated. The classical tefillot that we have for Teshuvah come from Daniel. Not surprisingly, because if we're correct that this is his paradigmatic function, then of course that's what we're going to find. But what's remarkable is that up until now, up until he discovered this sense of himself as being representative of something in the human condition, he didn't take it upon himself to do anything about anything. He was initially extremely passive, which we find in Yitzchak Avinu as well, as the element of Midat HaDin. I'm not interested in making things happen, because more than anything else, Din is sensitive to the emergence of things, rather than to ever doing anything about them. That, as Ramban says, is why Rivka didn't want to tell Yitzchak the Nevi'ut. What's he ever going to do about anything? He'll just say, okay, let it happen, let it emerge. I don't want to let it emerge. This was, to me, a neviyut that I'm supposed to act on. So something changed here in Daniel, in the Shnat Achat Adar Yavesh. There's many different approaches to what changed. My suggestion is that the most intimate thing that changed was his vision of himself. There was some mistake that was made, and now he's desperate. So, there's a Pirushim in the Gemara, there's different approaches in the Midrashim. What exactly was going on in his mind? As the Gemara says, Av Daniel Ta'a. The same way that Moshe Tzard made a mistake, Rachashverosh, he also made a mistake. So the Gemara has a very simple approach to what the mistake was. The mistake was that Yirmiyahu kept talking about Lebovel. So he naturally assumes that the Lebovel that was mentioned of, I will destroy the Melech of Bovel, I'll take it out on him, and so on, which had happened, this happened to Nebuchadnezzar, to Moshe Tzard, that's the same meaning of the Lebovel that occurs where Efkodetchem means there'll be a Pekida, which was taken to mean there'll be a Pekida, means that there will be a Geula. Okay? So that's a mistake. A mistake on many levels. First of all, because what was Nogea, the Melech of Bavel, may well be the first year of Achashverosh, but what's Nogea, the fulfillment of Shivim Shana in terms of the relationship to Yisrael, was that first Golas that brought Daniel up there. So, there was a year missing. Now he's holding in the middle of Daryavesh. and he's seen that Bavel has come to an end and nothing has changed, and he's assuming it's, but so that's a simple explanation. That can't be the whole explanation here because of the continuation of the pasuk, as we shall see. But there's a deeper issue that's at stake over here, and that is, we understand, looking at it from our perspective, that what it was that Daniel represented over here was a multi-leveled Leviathan, so to speak. He represents the local Golas Geula. He lives through the whole thing, and it's become so powerful in the Navi, which puts together the vision of an Eov who saw three different worlds, of a Noah who sees three different worlds, and a Daniel who sees three different worlds. So there's very few people that live in one paradigm, watch it being destroyed, see the creation of something new, and manage to see a completely new world built on a different paradigm. It's a stunning thing, and therefore the Navi actually puts it together. Imagine seeing Daniel and Eov and Noach in one place. Would that save the world? An amazing question. Fine. So he's an amazing guy. We understand that there's the other element of Daniel, which was the long-term element of Daniel, in which he actually is meant to incorporate these two completely different levels, the local Geula of the 70 years or 86 years, whatever it is, as we'll talk about in a moment, but that's more or less a local event. And then he has this other grand vision of all these malchiot, and he's suddenly he's been told, you know, to make these cheshbonas, 2,870, I'm sure as I'll hope that, is in years, you know, and it was years. You know, so he's, oh my God, what's going to be now? So remember that in his mind, there never were two levels. Nobody was aware of the fact that there were two levels. Everyone thought that the ultimate redemption is near. It's not that there's an option for there being a semi-redemption, a second Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean a second Beis HaMikdash? You mean the Beis HaMikdash, right? No, sorry. I mean, this. Oh, no, you got to be kidding. So this is something that doesn't even occur to someone. You mean we're going to make a phony Beis HaMikdash that's going to be destroyed again? It would be like telling us, yes, all of this is true, there will be a binyan, but it's only for a short while, you'll have to go through another 23,000 years of it. You say, forget about it, right? This is crazy. That's exactly how he looked at it. So from what began as this, the 70 years, as we pointed out, that's something within the grasp of the human lifetime. What began as that is transformed in his mind to something that is a horrifying metamorphosis of monstrous proportion. And he doesn't see that there's any place for anything in between. So is there something that can be done? That's one possibility. Maybe it means that there are two different kitzim. Maybe there's this original kitz, which if we would have been Zohan, if we would have done tshuva, and then perhaps we would have actually seen Bavel as not coincidentally being those 70 years. Bavel was created, so to speak, in order to provide for the galut of 70 years, and when Bavel is kaput, so is the galut. That's how they read it. Not that Bavel existed as part of a whole complex and growing issue, but it just accidentally happens to be that there was a grand relationship between the 70 of Bavel and somewhere along there on a sliding scale was the 70 of Yisrael, which was really connected to Shnot HaShmitah. You know, what does that have to do with Bavel? There's so many different levels that, you know, it must be that these are kitzim. So, as we have this idea, there's various kitzim. This is exactly the way that happened in the Middle Ages or in the 19th century. It became very popular. You know, so when all of the modern changes were going on, and this Hasidic Rebbe is praying for Nebuchadnezzar's for Napoleon's achievements. Because, you know, he's clearly setting the stage, and this one is praying for the opposite, you know, they all die young, and you know, but these were like common things, because, well, this is an opportunity, that's an opportunity. I can analyze the cases coming out at this time, and the world is changing, and it was all true. So Daniel's feeling, okay, so now it's time to respond. So that's one level, this is simply a response to his new vision of himself, and to the fear that perhaps we've lost the chance of taking advantage of the 7 years of Bavel. And now we're going to, if we don't do something about it now, this is like the last moment, we don't do something about it now, we're kaput. So he tries to do something about it. However, it's clear that something else is going on because at the end of this pasuk, he says something that never happened. He says, "Mispar hashanim asher haya davar unayel Yirmiyahu anavi lemalot lechorvot Yerushalayim shivim shana." Yirmiyahu anavi never said that. Yirmiyahu anavi never said to count 70 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim. So therefore, according to an understanding of the Gemara, basically many of the Farshim say, okay, stop. Binoti basfarim, that was the problem. I realized something, we're up the creek here, so I must have made a terrible error because nothing's happening. So apparently he assumed, this is Bichlal, I mean, a very important thing to note, he assumed that the fact that nothing is happening is important. In other words, there's not going to be a sudden shofar call and a Messiah coming on a white donkey and lead, which, well, what's the difference if nothing happened? It's still another year maybe for the Shivim Shana Baba. So that didn't even occur to him. That's not for sure not going to happen. There's got to be some kind of process. It doesn't just suddenly appear. Where's the, nothing's happening. Well, you really believe at the end of this year there's going to be all of a sudden be Mashiach? Well, that's the song, the horrible song. Mashiach isn't here. Mashiach hasn't even telephoned. He hasn't even called. So what do you think? You don't expect a phone call before? I mean, that's a little bit silly when you're sitting in Eretz Yisrael watching. If that isn't a call, I don't know what is, but fine. But the idea of a year where you don't see any movement is that nothing's happened. And so that's his problem. And then he's given an explanation. The explanation is the second part of the puzzle. The explanation is that I was wrong, and as the Gemara says, it never was meant to be a rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. It didn't say anything about a rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. It said, as the Gemara says, but it does say Shivim Shana L'Bavo. Yes, Shivim Shana L'Bavo has to do with the relationship of the Geula to the Malchut. And that's in terms of Pekida. And that's the Balfour Declaration or the Koresh Declaration. They're declarations, they're not achievements. And indeed, in 70 years, from that time, the first time that Nebuchadnezzar interacts with Yerushalayim in Yehoyachin's time, 70 years later, Koresh gets up a year after this event and says, whoever wants to go back to Yerushalayim, God has appointed me as the Messiah, and you're all going to go back to Yerushalayim. And then, of course, nothing happens. And a couple of years later, there's so many political elements, that the whole thing is canceled, and it's... So, okay, so according to the Gemara, really, this is what he's foreseeing. And his answer, there's two different issues. There's a Pekida, and that indeed is Shivim Shana LeBavel, as Yirmiyahu said. But the Geula, in terms of Shivim Shana, meant Shivim Shana from the time that Bavel destroyed Yerushalayim. But he quotes it from Yirmiyahu, and it doesn't appear in Yirmiyahu. So it's remarkable. What is the Purushim in Malva? Is that maybe that's the meaning of Yenoti Basfarim? After all, Yirmiyahu and Daniel are both told not to expose anything. And we saw before already, maybe a kitua in the middle of the pasuk. So if that's the case, maybe there was a neviut that had been written by Yirmiyahu that he was not allowed to pass on. So that he had access to those Sfarim, and he found that indeed there Yirmiyahu had written the Chorvot Yerushalayim, but he didn't want it that everybody should know, because that would essentially have pushed off the Geula and would have made the Hachraz of Koresh meaningless to people. So that would have pushed off the Geula by an additional 18 years. Because this whole story with Daniel was very early on. Then you had the whole period of the time in which Yehoyakim was king. And then when he finally came down and put in Tzidkio in his place, Tzidkio was king for 11 years. That's 7 plus 11, that's 18 beyond this stage. And it looks terrible because it looks like things have started to move in the right direction and we lost it, we blew it. Very much the feelings that people have today. I mean, you know, all of these great feelings, and yeah, what do you have? You have some, you know, second-rate third-world country that can't get their own identity straight, that are unable to defend themselves. And I mean, it's a joke. But it's no bigger a joke than the Pekida was at the time in Mitzrayim. It was exactly the same joke. Paro bursts out laughing. Everybody runs back home. Everybody tells Moshe, will you please cut out this garbage and drive it as nuts? And, you know, Moshiach didn't call. Thank you. So it's very similar. These are events. So, okay, maybe that's the meaning of Lemalot Lechorvot Yerushalayim. Maybe he actually wasn't told it or didn't figure it out, but had actually seen it. And then Sfarim would mean books. All of this is possible. But one thing is for sure. He now had reexamined himself as well. And that is brought out with the idea of Ani Daniel. And that's very important because it means that his having been set aside, and he said this in the previous parak, when he wanted to understand that mar'eh, Vayi bir oti ani Daniel et hachazon. And when the Malach says, tell that guy, halaz, tell that guy. And then he said, you should know you're a ben Adam. And the whole thing is amazing how it revolves around Daniel as a person. And then at the end of this, we're going to see once again, and that's when Daniel is sent Gavriel, who says, I've been sent as a special message to tell you how cute you are. I mean, so that again is a commitment to Daniel as a particular person with a particular midah, which of course becomes now Daniel Ish Chavodot. That's what how he's defined, how we relate to him. So he understood himself as serving a particular paradigm. He himself stood as a model for somebody. So it's not to be surprised that he's now re-examining everything that he thought about himself, thought about the nature of the Geula, and that's what's happening now. So now that re-examination is, of course, that's the nature of Tshuva. That's what the re-examination means. And therefore... Exactly. Yes, that's why it's completely nogeh, the idea of tefillah. It's the changes that take place in yourself. So ve'etna etna et panai el Adonai Elohim levakesh tefillah v'tahanunim v'tzom v'sak v'efer. And so I set my face towards God. And not simply towards God, but towards the God that is identified as Adonai. That, of course, is very special. Why? Because the Gemara says the first time that anybody said that word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was when Avraham Avinu asked the question, Adonai Elohim b'ma'idaki rashena. Now that relates directly back to the original Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, which of course is directly nogea the years of the missed relationship to Eretz Yisrael and the not keeping the Shemitot that are so central to the Brit in Vayikra. And indeed the Medrash relates this tefillah specifically, as we'll see, we could see this coming up, as a matter of fact, in a moment, where even in his own words, where he's consciously invoking the type of words that were used in Vayikra and in Dvarim separately in terms of those Britot. So, I'm going to use so Metzak Va'efer Va'et Palalal Adonai Elohai Va'et Vadeh. So I prayed and I said Vidui. Vomran, I said Ona Adonai Ha'el Hagadol V'Hanora. Notice that Hagibor is missing. It's very strange because in Yirmiyahu, the Nora was missing. So the Gemara has to understand. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Ela Gadol Agibor VaNora," and he's obviously referring to that pasuk because he makes further mention of it later. So what is he changing the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said? So the Gemara, well, he says, you know, I mean, the Goyim are being mishabed your children. You're not doing anything about it. We're supposed to see that as being very gibor. Where is the gibor? And the same thing was true. The Nora was the same question. Goyim jumping around in the Beis Hamikdash and laughing and playing with whores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is awesome. There's no awe. So they cut out the awe. They say, well, what do you mean you cut out? It's an amazing Gemara. What do you mean you cut out? How do you cut out something that Moshe Rabbeinu said? He said, well, we figure God is really honest. He wouldn't want us to lie. Fantastic Gemara. What are we going to say? He'll know that we're lying. We don't really believe that he's a Gibor Vanora, you know? So we'll just say, well, I got to, until the Anshe, this becomes the whole Makor of the Tikkun of the Anshe Knesset HaGdayot, which of course begins now, here, with the changeover to Purim and so on, in which they understood that the concept of Gvura and Noraut within the context of Hester is much more powerful and much more meaningful. In exactly the same way that the concept of Gibor as Ezo Gibor Hakoveshet Yitzro is far more powerful for a person to be able to act appropriately in terms of what is the meaning of what I'm doing now at this moment. And where it isn't appropriate, it doesn't matter what forces are brought upon me. That is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being Megala. Excuse me, what am I should get angry when I need this to happen. So I should get angry because I don't like the way they're thinking about it, talking about it. Look, what do you, makes a difference to me? I do what needs to be done. That's Gvura. And the idea of Nora is much more effective when it's subconscious. So as Amshe Knesset HaGedolah said, it's all very nice to do all these magical tricks. The bottom line, you've got a nation, Yisrael, that is completely and totally vulnerable to people who want nothing more than to destroy them, and they manage to survive. How is that possible? There means that on some subconscious level, people recognize that they can't really touch this. Okay, so that is Ein Hein Nora Otav. That's a level of relationship that is predicated on Hester and not on Gila. So this was part of the change that begins here. Shomer Habrit v'Chesed lo'ohavav v'lo'shomrei mitzvotav. And that's how we know that he's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. But what is that Brit v'Chesed? That's why he uses the word Adonai. This is going back to, that's when that original Brit was made. That's when the promise was given to Avram. That's when the sense of Galut was announced. And this is what we're going through now. But right then is when you promised. That was the Brit. And under any and all circumstances, you said that this is a process that works in the end. So I say, Chatanu, V'Avinu, V'Irshanu, U'Maradnu. There's different levels, of course, in which we understand this. On the simplest level in the reference of the active element. So Chet, we talk about the Shogeg, and Ovon, we talk about Mezid, and Maradnu is Maradim, or Pesha. Here, it clearly is not following that, because it sticks in this V'Irshanu, and then V'Sormi Mitzvotecha, Mishpatecha, which we stick into the overall Vidui. And indeed, the Malbim understands this being very different than the standard Vidui of the Chatanu Avinu Pashanu. Rather, Chatanu is in terms of desire, Avinu is in terms of conceptual evos, perversions, of saying and thinking about the way the world is in ways that aren't true, and therefore relating to everything as a lie. V'Irshanu is essentially the way in which either you add resha by educating people to resha. So V'Irshanu, we mean we make other people reshaim. Or V'Irshanu, which is certainly part of the chinuch, you know, we have to train our children to do these horrible things and to believe these horrible things. And or V'Irshanu is in terms of Bein Adam Lechavero. You say that's rishut. It's just cruel, mean-spirited, and so on. So that could be referring to Inyonim that are Bein Adam Lechavero. Or V'Irshanu, we made the world a rotten place of resha, which is the same central idea. And all of this done through Maradnu. That's the understanding of the Maradnu, is a comment on all of the above. There's always the element of doing it our way. And the doing it your way, which is clear, because otherwise we wouldn't say Chatanu Avinu Pashanu for anything. We would say Chatanu if it's a chet, and a Pashanu if it was a merida. So clearly that means there's always some aspect in which a person who makes a mistake because he doesn't want to know the truth. So he creates a lack of sensitivity that allows him to make a mistake. We all know that psychological thing. You want to put yourself in a position where you're able to do the wrong thing through no fault of your own. Well, what can I do? He knew perfectly well that that was what was going to happen. Maybe. Okay, so that in the end, that's really a marad. V'sor mi-mitzvotech o-mi-mishpatech, we turned aside both from the asiyat ha-mitzvot and from understanding the Torah that would have provided us for a framework of, that's the alavai oti azvu, v'torah tishamaru. It provides you with a framework for rediscovering the nature of reality. We didn't do that. Not only that, but you even told us what was wrong. V'lo shamanu elavadecha nevi'im asher dibru b'shimcha elavadecha I should be El Malachenu, Sorenu, Viavotenu, Kolam Haaretz. It's not as if this was like only to the top people. They spoke to the Malachim and warned them what was going to happen to them. They spoke to the ones in charge of the nation. Avotenu Moslem means some level of Hashivas, not my personal Avot. So maybe some say it means the Kohanim, or some say it means the Zekenim, or Kolam Haaretz. Therefore, I say that I first want to acknowledge the fact that I'm not asking for something, that I believe that anything is wrong in how you treated us. On the contrary, if anything, it's the opposite. And this, of course, this is what the part of the Hanani Mishalva Azariah experience is going on at exactly this time, where, as the Gemara says, that they were the ones who said that after they were spit out by everybody, when they came out of the Nisyonot that happened to them, and people said to them, "You Jews are out of your cotton picking minds. You see things like this that happen to you, and you pay no attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu," and they spit at everybody would spit at them, and that's when they said that pasuk v'lanu boshet hapanim, as the Gemara says. Kayoma is there. The way that look at this, as we see it, it's as clear as day, we would say. It's as clear as day. I mean, look what has happened to us. Man, we are absolutely a bunch of absolute madmen. Lish Yehuda, Yoshvei Yerushalayim, Ulechol Yisrael HaKrovim V'Arachokim. I mean, forget about Yehuda, even the Aseres HaShvatim, wherever it is that we've been scattered by you. Asher Yidachtam Sham, B'Ma'alam Asher Ma'alu Bachim, the treachery, the way that we misused everything that was given to us. Adonai lanu boshet apanim. We're embarrassed. Not only me, and not only for the worst of us. Lim lachenu, lisarenu, v'lavotenu, ashachatanu lach. I'm not saying it's only some of us. It's from top to bottom. The whole thing stinks. Ladonai Eloheinu arachamim v'haslichot kibaradnu bo. I can only say that from our point of view, look, everything that you've done has been lifnim mishurat hadin, in the way that you've allowed us to prosper here, to rediscover ourselves here, and to be zochet doing tshuva here. V'lo shamanu b'kol Adonai Eloheinu l'alechet b'torotav asher natan lefaneinu b'yad avadav hanevi'im. So remarkably, in all of the years from the time of the breakdown in Yisrael, all of the Nevi'im that had been sent, well, all that we find is laughing them out of town, basically. Again and again, throughout Nevi'im Rishonim, in the entire period, even in which it was clear that the Aseret HaShvatim had already gone into Galut, and that there was a Nevi'ut that was going to happen to Yehuda, there literally was never a response. Not only was there no response, they made an absolute joke out of the Nevi'ut. We find that some of the Malachim had actually sent messengers around to the remainders of the Aseret HaShvatim and tried to get them to come in, to come to Yerushalayim, and they chased them out of town. They viewed the entire thing mita'ata'im b'nevi'av. Not just didn't listen, mita'ata'im. The first record of any response that is meant to be a response of Yisrael is this tefillah. And because of that, this vidui, really, which is a vidui on behalf of all Yisrael. And because of that, apparently this has become the actual nusach tefillah that we utilize in terms of the Lucha Hashem HaTzedakah, V'lanu Boshet HaPanim. These words of Daniel are repeated in so many different venues, in the Altaniyot, and in Slichot, and it becomes very much the tefillah of Daniel Ish Chamudot, to such an extent that the Medrash points out that there were two people in all of Jewish history that were made to be Mavakish on all of Yisrael in this fashion, on their own. One of them was Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayachal Moshe's Pnei Hashem Elokav, and the other was Daniel, where it says over here, in this right here, as we learned, Vetna et Panai el Hashem Elokim Lavakesh. So it actually compares the Vayachal Moshe to and again, Vayomer Lahashmidem Lulei Moshe Bechira Amad Beferetz Lefanav. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu averted a Gezer on all of Yisrael. And these were the two people, Loshen of the Medrash is like the Shnei Bnei Adam, Shinatnu Bneihem Leneged Midat Adin Levakesh Rachamim Yisrael. We've already seen the sensitivity of Daniel, to the Midah of Gvura, and to the way in which he's misasik with the Malach Gavriel, who is specifically the one sent to him. And what's fascinating about the story to come is the impact that he actually has on the course of events in the Rakia, that there's a response to him and a shlichus to him, specifically of Gavriel, but that this imposes itself on the Sidrei HaShamayim. And we're never given to see that. And as we mentioned, it's just amazing that Daniel sees himself as responsible at some level, being Isaac in this tefillah. And because of this, Chazal give many, many perushim to these words, that lanu boshet apanim, l'cha Hashem atzdakah. As the Medrash points out, I mean, normally speaking, you say, l'cha Hashem atzdakah, when someone does the correct thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives tzedakah. And instead we're saying that l'cha Hashem atzdakah, actually in all of the chasadim that you're doing for us. So he keeps talking about the way shomer habrit, v'chesed, lo avav, lo shomrei mitzvotav. And yet we were chatanu v'avino v'yershanu. Lo shamanu el avadecha neviim ulocha Hashem hatzdaka. So the way that Chazal understands is that every element, first of all, the things that we were chayte in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nonetheless continued to give tzedakah. So that at the time of the Maisa Egel, the mon continued to come down. Says Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shalom, that's all. Dayachat kan, that's all. It happens to be that they would collect the mon and be makriv in front of the Egel. And the man continued to come down. And by crossing the Yam Suf, where there was the whole value of Pesel Micha that went through, and the plans for Pesel Micha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time, who ever heard of such a thing, says the Medrash. Shamata v'chayecha, that's people being married against the Melech, and he continues to support you at the time that you're being married. Furthermore, even those things that appear to be so strongly, Midas Hadin, this the Gemara points at, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually memaher asakets of the golas, and that was l'cha Hashem atzedakah. What was l'cha Hashem atzedakah? Because as it says that the v'noshantem baretz, the punishment to Klal Yisrael was to be kminyan v'noshantem, and this was 852 years. Instead, we find that at 850 years, if you add up the 480 years from Yetzias Mitzrayim, the 410 years, and then you subtract the 40 years of the Midbar, so you're left with 850 years, 2 years short of the Gematria of the Noshantem. And that's the Mehera of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Bible, you see, it says, the Mehera must be 852 years when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's very fast. And that itself is a tremendous tzedakah, because since that was done, first of all, there ended up being Hatzalah for Yisrael. And furthermore, there was the other tzedakah in which Nebuchadnezzar came early enough to take the Charash and Masger to Bavel and to prepare the way for a yeshiva by Bavel that would end up being, as we've seen, a dramatic change in which people actually started taking mitzvahs seriously, tefillah seriously. And yet, as we saw in the Ramban, the Hester was a Hester of Pnei HaGu'ula. That Hester of Pnei HaGu'ula is not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is master panav from Klal Yisrael, but it's that Klal Yisrael ends up forgetting that there is such a thing as the nature of Gula. And this was the tragedy that Daniel here seeked to avert. In other words, we know that the original Nevi'ut, as we saw earlier in the Purushim, in various Purushim, the original Nevi'ut of the Shivim Shana has multiple levels of interpretations. What we've discovered is that the whole nature of Kates is that it's meant to have multiple levels of interpretation, so that there are many, many nodes at which there is a possibility of a psicha, an opening of the gateways to Geula, and each one of those nodes is really a tremendous opportunity. And Daniel feels now that there is an opportunity, according to the simple pshat of the psukim, in which the 70 years, as he sees it, one way of understanding it was the shivim shana labava, like the pasuk that refers to the onesh of the malchei bava, and that is already taking place. He's talking now in the first year of Daryavesh Hamadi, and because of that, he feels that it's possible to respond. So one of the responses is the inyan of the tshuva in the tefillah that he's given. And no one has ever openly said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a representative of Yisrael, how profoundly we stink. That's an interesting thing. That was never said. We take it now almost for granted. But that's because of Daniel. Even those who follow, when we talk about in the return, in the story of Ezra and Nehemiah, we find also such words. Nobody ever said them before. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was Vayechal Moshe, it was always in terms of what can you expect from them, and we need to understand that it was, but they did a terrible thing in making an ego, but the extent at which the rottenness of it, the filth of it, the taking everything for granted, which becomes over here a tefillah for the face of Geula. In other words, it's not merely that Daniel becomes a carrier of a vision of Geula, not merely that he becomes what we call the Leviathan. He becomes an active educator about the nature of Geula, and it is his hope, clearly here, that in being ma'orer, these tefillot about the return to Eretz Yisrael, about the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, that he can get people to feel that way, and that he can overturn the Hester of the Geula that he feels must be the problem. Because nothing has changed for the worse, at least on the surface. Everything has changed for the better. So what is this response now? In other words, he feels there's obviously some type of gezerah that has destroyed the original Nevi'ahs in what could have been simple 70 years. And instead, now we're talking about over 2,000 years, and something horrible must have gone wrong. And clearly, his response now is an attempt to deal with what has gone wrong. So what is he talking about now? If anything, people are finally, yes, being shomer mitzvahs, and finally, even the goyim recognize the godless of Yisrael, how stupid they were in being eved avodah zarah, and so on and so forth. So what in the world is he talking about here? We're forced to conclude that what he's talking about is the very fact of Geula. Why do I say we're forced to conclude? Because the end result is that that was the failure. The failure was the lack of concern for Geula. There's many, many rise. One of the most beautiful things that I love to quote is the way that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi has the Chacham responding to the Melech HaKuzari when the Melech says to him, but you guys pray for Jerusalem all the time and there's never any response. And he says to them, we never pray for Jerusalem. Those are the words of a parrot. Says, have you ever heard talking birds? That's what these people are doing. They're a bunch of talking birds. They don't have the least bit of concern for coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, this is the way that there's some amazing gemaras. I mean, mamish, in which it's difficult to believe the level of the outright hatred of the Bavlim that the people in Eretz Yisrael had. And we know we have the lashon of the Kuzri first, which is very important because he expresses the idea not just in the way that they spoke, but he brings rias from Sukkim. So he says to the Melech HaKuzari, he says, you know what? That it's because of this that there's been no interest. It's because of that that we never were zayecha to the Geula. Because the fact is, it says even in the Bayit Sheni, Roni v'simchi batzion, kinini v'avashachanti betochech nu'um Hashem. And all of this was meant to happen. This was emet lachul alayhem kevirishona, tashra sashchina, all of the inyonim that never ended up coming back to the bias that exactly, adi avaram Hashem, adi avaram zukanita, as the Gemara says, that it was ro'i, it was meant that yaselam nisim, Be a shnia, kishem, like the Yitzias Mitzrayim itself. And just like Yitzias Mitzrayim was destroyed by the unwillingness to go to Eretz Yisrael. That was the chet of the Meraglim. So too was this entire period destroyed by the unwillingness to go to Eretz Yisrael. So that even though we have this tremendous declaration of Koresh and so on, what happens? You have 40-some thousand people coming? Out of all of the people that had gone to Bavel? That's the only people that care? Iraq miktatzam nenu, but ilu nenu kulam lekriya. Had all of them responded, v'shovel eretz yitzor b'nefesh chafetza, and they had desired to be there, then we would have been zeicha to the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. And he says that's exactly what the meaning is in Shir HaShirim when Shlomo HaMelech says, ani yesheina v'libi er. That in fact, I'm asleep. So that's the galut. He says that's sleeping. And then kol dodi dofek is the tfika of the kriya to be oil at Eretz Yisrael, and that's a kinu l'shchina. Pashatati et kuntanti, what do you mean? I'm already in my bed clothing, I'm relaxed, I'm in bed, but you don't surely expect me. I mean, I've taken off my shoes, I've washed my feet, what, I'm going to leave now L.A., I'm going to come to this dirty floors and filthy rova, they don't even clean it properly, and this is what I'm going to give up. So how is that possible? And that's exactly the thing. Dodi shalach yodo min achor. That's a rebbe's to Ezra, who's begging them to come back. To Nehemiah, to Nevi'im Achronim. And in the end, nobody comes back. That's the bottom line. And there's constant complaints and so on and so forth. So, I mean, if you listen to the Gemara, I mean, unbelievable, the Gemara about Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is taking a swim in the yard. Eh? So Rabbi Barbar Chana comes to help him out. So he tells Rabbi Barbar Chana, I hate your guts. I swear to God, I hate you. Because if it says im chomayi nivne alei tirat kesef im delati natzor ala luach ares im asitam atzmachem kechomav elitam bimei Ezra, had you come up and been willing to fight like a wall all together, then you would have been kesef shein arekef shaleibo. Now, what did you get? A few people came up, shaltem keres, keres wood gets worm eaten. It's entirely your fault that we're in this. But there's, I mean, the Medrash expands on it. It brings this mice also. But the Medrash expands on it. He says, the Medrash says that Rish Lakish, when he would see guys coming from Bavel, so we'd see all these guys from Chutz Laaretz were coming into Eretz Yisrael to learn for a year, you know, they've got these. So he would see them in the Rova, you know, in the square over there. Mitzamti, Beshuka, there they were all getting together in the shuk. So Amar Lehem, so he used to say to them, will you please get the hell out of here? Baliatchem na nasefem choma. When it was time to be Ela from Bavel, then you couldn't come. And now you're coming to make a mess in the Rova. Please. This is what you call coming up. Oh, there's another horrible story. You see the way the men in the street felt about the Bavlim at the time that Rebbe was a Maisa, the Rebbe Zira. So this Rebbe Zira went out. He went into a store to buy something. So he goes into the shuk and he feels that they're not weighing things properly. So he says to the guy, he says, will you please take care of your weights? Tekiot to call Yehud. The guy looks at him and says, will you please get the hell out of here, you Bavli Mamzer? You guys are the ones that destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. What? I destroyed the Beit HaMikdash? Is that really true? He goes into the Beit HaMikdash. And at that minute, he hears Rav Shila being darshan that pasuk. Im chomayi nivdal. He said, oh my God. So this guy really set me straight. This Amor, he was 100% right. So apparently this is true. But there's a lot of very, very strange maisim about the extent of the hatred to Bnei Bavel, which means that they really felt deep down that the chisaron in the Pnei HaGeula was the fact that there really wasn't an interest in Geula. And this, as the Ramban says, that was the continued teichacha of the Esther Astir Panayimim, that it wasn't a Esther in terms of a terrible tzaras, on the contrary. It was a Hester, the fact that there was Hester. Everybody's feeling great. This is a wonderful society. We're doing so well. We're all learning. We've opened up so many yeshivas. Exactly the Jewish observer tones, you know. Things have never been better. It's exactly what he is attempting now to deal with in trying to be Ma'aron himself now, to be Eimed Beperetz, as Moshe was, to be the one that was Mavakish and the Geula, and to be more than just a Leviathan and a symbol of a Geula to come, but also to be Ma'er of the value and the meaning of Geula, which is a completely different, as we said earlier, a completely different point of view. The transition between a living in Eretz Yisrael in a state of Malchus, in a state of Migdash, and the natural assumptions of such a thing as being the state of mankind close to its Shleimus, which is just around the corner, and then having substituted now the Migdash Ma'at of Tfilah, as the Navi puts it, and which we see that Daniel was Isaac in the entire time, was that getter of Tfilah So they got the thing that happens to people in those circumstances is that they look to the new matzav as being the new standard of living for Ben Yisrael. In fact, it's the most extreme darkness that's possible for Ben Yisrael to live in, because it's not only the darkness of the loss of Eretz Yisrael, it's the loss of any understanding. It's the loss of the awareness of loss, which is, of course, the ultimate loss, which you don't even know what you're missing. And to that extent, it's literally like living in a cave. It's being completely blind. It's this Plato's idea of the dim images that you get of what is really going on in reality. And it's here that Daniel is doing his inyanim of tefillah. So Ladunai Eloheinu Arachamim v'Hasilichot ki moradnu bo. So he is the one that during this entire period has continued to give us all of his rachamim, all of his slichot, ki maradnu bo. And that makes it more rachamim v'slichot. I mean, you would think it should be just the opposite. And nonetheless, despite all of the neviim, despite clearly the interest in our own toivah, Lo shamanu v'lo shamanu b'kol Adonai Eloheinu, lo lechet b'torotav asher natan lefaneinu, v'yadav adav haneviim. And v'chol Yisrael avru et toratecha, everyone was over v'sor, turned aside levilti shmoa b'kolecha, and because of that, v'titach alinu ha'alava hashvua asher kituva b'torat Moshe eved Elohim kichatanu lo. So now this sounds like that, and now we understand why it is that we're here, and these were the klalos that were written, and all of this happened to us. It sounds like it's just giving a recording of our understanding of what has taken place. In truth, these were very manipulative words, because it's an assumption that everything that had happened to us was indeed the end of the story. Meaning, okay, we understand that there was the Gezeira, and there were 70 Shemitahs, that we've been Mevatel. Of course, that's the 70 years in which Oz Tirtze Haaretz et Shabtoteha, and that itself is a lack of love for the earth and a lack of connection to the earth. And therefore now, with this tefillah, in my desire for the earth and my love of the earth and my respect of the earth and my willingness, therefore, all of that is part of Shemitah. The rejection of Shemitah is the rejection of Eretz Yisrael. It's the rejection of the connection. As the Ramban said, the loss of Shemitah is the equivalent of a lack of belief in my separation, because it's a complete separation from the way in which the earth is nested within the story of creation. So that idea of the sevens, the 7 days of my separation, and the coming of Shabbat, which becomes the 7 years to Shemitah, which becomes the seven Shemitot to Yovel, which becomes greater and greater. I mean, he's only Meramis to this in terms of the Kabbalistic vision, is the 6,000 years of my separation, and the Elef Hashvi, which is connected Shabbos, and the Knesset into an Olam of Tikkun, and the Alpi Kabbalah, even greater series of 10,000 years of various levels of greater and greater tikkunim. That is meant to be an understanding of the nature of the way that everything that we do is linked at all times to elements of my separation and lives within it. It's not an extended linear creation, it's a nested creation. And that makes all the difference in the world, because it means that you're living within that context. And therefore, it's the loss of everything, says Ramban. Here the Torah was more mocked on that than on anything else, and talked about us to Tzaretz and Shabtotea. He is hoping that that is the case. If that is the case, then of course the 70 years were exactly the number of Shemitot that were lost. So he can make up for those lost Shemitot with the 70 years of Galut. So by saying it this way, in a way he's saying something that's manipulative. So okay, so we can end the Cheshbon now, and hooray, exactly. Vayokom et Dvoro, and indeed he did what he said he was going to do. I hope. Asher diber aleinu v'al shofteinu, and the terrible things that he said was going to happen to the Malachim. Malachim are also called the Shoftim. So what happened in the Psukim, that Yolich Hashem es Malkecha shetakim aleichem, bring them to a faraway land. All of that happened. Le'avinu aleinu ra'a gedola. that's amazing. We talked about the naivety and the youth of humanity in which they didn't even know what barbarism was. We have a sense of what the barbaric can be, the truly demonic can be. They didn't. And so they saw what had happened in Yerushalayim the way we look at the Nazis. So that it was something that had never happened before in human history, as Daniel points out. Vayokem bet divaro, lavil aleinu ra'a gedola asher lo nestach tachat kal ha'shamayim, kasher nestah b'Yerushalayim. No such evil was perpetrated in human terms, such as happened in Yerushalayim. That's big words. I mean, man, they didn't even dream about what could be perpetrated. I mean, this was relatively benign, what had happened in Yerushalayim. And nonetheless, the chereg and the hereg, says Rashi, and the seifa sa'ir, and the raping of women, and the shov, the shvuyim going out, the kolarin, great. Cattle cars they didn't have.
Well, it wasn't that they didn't have what came later on, but didn't this happen all over the Middle East for centuries?
Apparently, the anger against Yerushalayim and the rejection of Yerushalayim was such that it was worse. Whereas in other places that was acceptable to have a kniyah, in Yerushalayim, that wasn't enough. And we see this obsession that they had with Yerushalayim, the obsession that they had. Listen, you're listening to the words of a person that was there. And there's no reason for him to be b'shaker in the tefillah. What am I going to tell you? That's what's so shocking about it. I mean, they were certainly barbaric people. I mean, you take a look at the way in which the Assyrians had conquered cities and they complete, I mean, it looks like nothing but mass murder and so on and so forth. Apparently, they accepted more of the getter of shvuyim and the willingness of people to be enslaved, and that's it. And he sees Yerushalayim as being something that had never happened before in history. I mean, it's just an astonishing statement. It's shocking to us. Kasher katuv v'torat Moshe et kol ha'ra'ah hazot ba'aleinu. Everything that it said, so he thinks, in the Torah Moshe, all of those horrible things happened to us. V'lo chilinu, the way Moshe did, points out the Medrash. Vayachel Moshe et p'nei Hashem alopa. So vayachel means, the real meaning, interestingly enough, is to sweeten. Choli. Choli is sweet. So in sweet, that's called in Kabbalistic terms, hamtakat dinim, which is to make matok midas hadin, so that it is possible to make things be, if there's a response to them and a willingness to take them as tzedakah and so on. We didn't even do that. Lo chilinu et bnei Adonai leinu. Lo shuv me'avoneinu. We'll ask il ba'mitach. Then we take the time out to try to understand what the Torah was saying about these horrible situations. Vayishkod Adonai ala ra'a vayaviyah aleinu. This is the remes to the 850 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this more quickly. Ki tzadik Adonai aleinu. Because he wanted for our good to make it faster. To be shoked instead of waiting to v'noshantem. Baretz. He gave us an opportunity to be reconstructed by leaving those 2 years before. Al kol ma'asav asher asav lo shamanu kolo b'kolo, despite the fact of everything that we had done and refused to respond to him. V'ata Adonai Eloheinu asher hotzeta et amecha me'eretz Mitzrayim b'yad chazaka v'tas lacha shem kayom hazeh. Now we are worried about you. This first part I understand. I speak about us and what we've done. But remember that this is an expression of the Shem Hashem. It's a Chilal Hashem. This is your Am. This is your ear. This is Har Kodshecha. What about that? Adonai kikot tzidkotecha yashavna apecha v'chamatecha mircha Yerushalayim Har Kodshecha. Kivachatainu v'avonot avotenu Yerushalayim v'amecha l'cherpa l'chol sevivotenu. This all around everybody now is mizalzal in Yisrael. Imagine this horrible Chilul Hashem. V'yatash ma'alohinu at tefilat avdecha v'yeltach anunav. Please now listen to my tefillah, to how I beg you. V'er ponecha migdashcha hashamim l'man adunai. Not for our sake, but for the shame of the Beis HaMikdash, in which Mikdash Adonai kodenu yadecha. This is your place. Hateo la'ayos lecha u'shma, kach inechu re'eish momotenu, v'ira shenikra shimcha aleha. This is the city which is called on your name, and in its destruction, people look at it as a breakdown in your presence in the world. I'm not begging because I believe we deserve anything. Ki al rachamecha harabim. It's only on your rachamim that I even dream of discussing this. Adonai Shema'a, I beg of you to hear what I'm saying. Adonai Silacha, Adonai Hakshiva, hear the pain that we're in. V'yaseh al ta'achar, don't put it off anymore. L'man chayelai, it's for your sake. Kishim shibcha nikra, alircha v'yalamecha. V'yodani midaber u'mitpalel u'mitvadech atati v'chatat ami Yisrael. U'mapil techinati lifnei Adonai Elohai al hara kodesh Elohai. And again, this doesn't mean while yet I was talking. And again, there were three different sidrei tefillos that he was mispalel. Each one of them had inyanim of it, of the opening, which is, you're supposed to be mishabeach, what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, harachamim, v'achesed, and so on. Then to be mitvadeh. And then the tefillah, the techinah for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and for the restoration of Yerushalayim, and Am Yisrael, al har kodesh Elohai. The Rabbah takes that to mean that he was at har kodesh. But that he had traveled to Eretz Yisrael in order to say this tefillah. But the Pashut meaning is not al har hakodesh, but on the har that holds the kodesh. There is the har beta elokim that will be, as Rashi puts it, shibaneh, that there should be such a har that holds that kodesh. V'yoda nimedaber betefillah. Then, as I am speaking once again, and here it can mean while I'm speaking, now suddenly that ve'aish Gavriel asher ra'iti bechazon batchila, the very Gever that I had spoken to before, and I had seen that in the vision initially, and now I'm not dreaming. Now I'm talking. Mu'af bi'af, and from here, the Gemara points out that Gavriel is a two-staged process. Mu'af bi'af, a two-stage process for Gavriel to be able to manifest himself. It goes through the difference between the Malach HaMoves and the various Malachim and Gavriel. And it's Mu'af bi'af, nogea elai ke'it minchat arev. He comes to me. At the time, and we know Minchat Arav, the Gemara Darshans, that's the period after Zman of all of the Tfilas and so on. So this is, as we'll see the same thing in Ezra, when he stands up, comes off of his feet. The Pashtas of Minchas Arav, I mean, although some take it to mean literally the Shas HaMincha, so that the Mincha is a reference to the actual Korban Mincha, which Eliyahu was answered with Korban HaMincha. So a person should always be mispal. But the way most before Shemar Minchas Arav is the sun that is nach towards the evening. So in other words, as the heat of the afternoon is broken, so now it's a period in which things start to cool off. And the sun can begin to rest, so to speak, as it begins to be mitare. So it's the late afternoon, in other words. It does. Some learn that the double process in this case is, which I find hard to believe, is that this is what the Malbim learns, is that first Gavriel had to be mityaetz with Michael, because that's what we see earlier, that he speaks to Michael, asks questions, and then comes to be Mazir to Daniel. But the problem is that the Gemara views this as an insight into the nature of Gavriel, not specifically to the interaction with Michael. So it could be the Balaam holds that itself is his nature in terms of dealing with Yisrael. But, I mean, whatever the two steps are, that's like asking, and why does the Malach HaMoves need more steps, and why is it? That's a question of Rishus. Okay, obviously, if we don't understand the union of Gavriel, we're not going to be able to understand radically well Mu'av Biyav. Nonetheless, it's important to know that it's two steps, and it's not something that's immediate. Vayoven, vayedaberimi, and so he now helped me to understand and spoke to me. Vayomar Daniel, ata yatzati lahasil chavina. I have now come out to try to help you understand and have insight. Because bitchilat tachanunecha, the truth is, the moment that you started this tefillah, it was already determined. Yatzadavar, there was already a tzivoy in the Shemayim that you are to be responded to. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to hear your tefillah. So I didn't interrupt. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitaveh b'tefillatan shel tzadikim. But you should know that there was immediate response to you. And because of this, obviously you could have fallen asleep and had another chazon, but because of this, ani bati lagid Ki chamudotata. Because of the fact that you are so beloved and so sweet, that I was told that I'm supposed to speak to you directly and not anymore with these interfaces. And as a matter of fact, the Medrash points out that three separate places he's told Chamudotata, to let him know one is vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one is vis-a-vis the Tzva HaShamayim, and one is vis-a-vis human beings. That everybody appreciates him. Everybody loves Daniel. And he needs to know this. An amazing idea. Ubin badavar. Now what you need to do is rethink the davar. This, according to some, is a reference to the Dvar Hashem. Asher Yal Yirmiyo. That's the lashon of davar. So first of all, rethink your approach to Yirmiyo because you're wrong. And then, ve'avein b'mar'en. I'm going to also give you a vision. And the vision that follows is something that you need to understand in order to appreciate the mistakes that you've been making on many levels. Okay, so one mistake we know is already Merumas at the beginning of the parak, in which he already lets on the fact that he recognizes that the Shivim Shana are L'chorvot Yerushalayim, even though Yirmiyahu never said that. And that was the Gemara's teretz in Megillah about what's going on. So why was there no binyan of the Beis HaMikdash until much later, 18 years after this? That's a long time to wait, especially when you're in your 80s. So obviously he was most concerned about that. That he came to realize that that was a different cheshbon, and that the 70 years was 70 years of churban. So it needed to be churvot Yerushalayim. Fine. But then there's another mistake, and this is a horrible mistake. And that horrible mistake, I mean, there's two levels to the horrible mistake. One level is the fact that he was taking for granted that the 70 years that are mentioned in Yirmiyahu are 70 years connected to the Bittul of the Shemitah. And this, of course, is true. There are 70 years that are connected to the Bittul of the Shemitah. However, unfortunately, that wasn't the only thing that went wrong during that period. And although 70 years may be enough for a pekida, it doesn't mean that they're enough for a tikkun. And the other thing, of course, that he was tremendously mistaken about was that there was no interim stage of a Migdash Sheni. He had no awareness at all. He only knew the pasuk Ad Yavaram Chashem, Ad Yavaram Zilkanita. He didn't know that it was possible to lose that in a Biashnia, and that then there would need to be yet a Biashlishit. That was what? Those three issues we shall address tomorrow as Gavriel explains them to him. But before we begin describing what it is that the Malach explains, or Gavriel explains, the mistake was that he was making, I think it's important to note the reason that Chamudotata is said over here specifically. The Medrash makes it very clear that there's something unique about this moment. And that is that the lashon that Daniel uses it comes to represent a paradigm in the way that when all else is lost and there is nothing that can be done, that the idea of tefillah takes on an entirely new kind of connotation. So that, remember, initially in the Gan Eden setting, the Simat Adam in Gan Eden, for the purpose of La'avdo L'shamra. So Lavdala Shamra, on a level of Gan Eden, was exceedingly intellectual. As you're talking about their awareness, and as Chazal Yerushalmi puts it, Lavda is the mitzvah taseh, L'shamra is the mitzvah lo taseh, or the fact that it didn't rain until humanity recognizes the rain patterns and the importance, which is the idea of a universe functioning only randomly unless there is intelligence that actually collapses the wave function, so to speak. But until then, you had nothing but the idea of the mist. There was no cloud. Cloud itself is temporary, but appears to be a violation of entropy, energy-driven clouds instead of spread out all over the earth. And that is a function of intelligence. As soon as there was a Yetziah from Gan Eden, and the Yetziah from Gan Eden is linked to entering a mechanistic world. That's obviously the issue. In other words, in Gan Eden, there was no mechanics at all. It was purely a matter of consciousness, and even what we recognize as the macrocosm in our reality was in Gan Eden the equivalent of our microcosm. So in other words, in Gan Eden, as the Gemara puts it, you get on a bed, sleep with a woman, and the children come off the bed with you. Because there's no mechanical period in which the requirements for translation of information takes place. Obviously, it has to take place, but it takes place in a microcosm, just as the myriad reactions that take place on the quantum level to us are completely invisible. We really think there's cause and effect, direct. We don't understand that all along the line, if you'd be drawing a Feynman diagram, I mean, it would take you forever to describe what was going on. It's irrelevant to us. To us, it's transparent. We flick a switch, a light goes on, you strike a match, and the match bursts into flames. I mean, everything that's going on really, I mean, yes, once in a while we notice that it's really not always burst into flames, and sometimes the precise amount of friction and the molecules that were supposed to be sensitive to the friction are not completely aligned. All right, but we just sort of view that as cause and effect. We don't understand that these are all really based on certain fundamental quantum interactions of forces and so on. So all of that is invisible to us. So too was to Adam invisible what we view as the world the way it is. It's a world of mechanics. So in the Yetzia from Gan Eden into the world that we live in, the La'avda L'Shamra became fundamentally coupled, and this was the curse. The earth will no longer provide for you unless you work it. You're going to end up sweating. You're going to be like a machine, basically. And all that was supposed to happen with the direct translation of information is no longer information. It's 50 steps away. Instead of being able to see what things are, you're going to be able to see information that then will need to be processed in your brains and worked out and so on and so forth. So it's an entirely different kind of world. The question is the interrelationship of that world with the way the world was meant to be. It's linked to the Beit HaMikdash. The idea of the Beit HaMikdash is to enter into a different space. It's to come to a level in which it's possible. La'avda. La'avda v'la'shamra. What happens when there's no Beit HaMikdash? So what apparently is happening here, and this is what Daniel announces, that after being shattered by the visions that he saw and recognizing that he was called upon to respond as the human being, and the Malach tells him, listen, you're the human around here. Ben Adam, and he understands what that means. Uh-huh. So it requires a human reaction. What is that human reaction? There's really nothing that I can do politically. There's certainly nothing I can do militarily. There's nothing that I can do in terms of making movements. What can I do? So he recognizes that in the vacuum where there is no mechanical world, you are left with the original relationship to Tvila, in which Tfila is no longer coupled to Hishtadlut. It just is what it is. And it is this that the Medrash points out and goes through. So what do you do when there is no Beit HaMikdash, there are no Karbanot, there is nothing to do? I'll read you the... Thank you, Yelikin. So the Medrash says like this. What about there's no Navi, there's no Kohen, there's no Korban, there's no Mikdash, there's no Zevach, Bimachap, and so on and so forth. So what do you do? So lo nishtayer biyadin ala tefillah. And that is the, based ala fichach, Adonai Shema'a, Adonai Slacha, Adonai Akshiva, Otacher. What is that supposed to mean? In other words, that was obviously a new, listen, pay attention and take care of it. Like, that doesn't seem to be the same as the original opening in which this is like a different level of the demand to the relationship of the fact that I recognize those things. So the truth is there are different elements of the tefillah. There was the teshuvah that was the first thing that he spoke about. And not simply a teshuvah, as we spoke about yesterday. For the first time, really, in history, for the first time, a person gets up representing Klal Yisrael and talks about how the whole thing stinks from beginning to end. The kings, the leaders, the previous generations, there was nothing that was ever good. Now that is a fantastic statement, especially, I mean, imagine today if somebody would get up and say that. I mean, they'd kill me. They'd kill me, exactly. But that's the point. An excellent example. So that's the point. In other words, if you're ready to recognize that it's time that we moved beyond a non-working paradigm, and this is the first time such a thing ever occurs, that somebody gets up and says that on this level. So now the conclusion of such a teshuva, the conclusion of such a bakasha, with what the Medrash is pointing out over here, is an understanding that there ought to be a direct relationship to What I tell you needs to be done now. So Hashem Akshiva, Hashem Shema, Hashem Slacha, right? V'yase al tacher. Look, we don't have time, you know. It's time for immediate action. That's a very different tonality than the whole beginning. And apparently he was aware of this. Why is Chamudot HaTam so important in what it is that the Malach comes and tells him? B'tchilat tachanunech and pasuk of kemo, yatsa davar. The truth is that at the very beginning of what it is that you were talking about over here and the way in which you were responding, there was already a decision made and the decree had gone out. And I was sent to tell you, ki chamudot ata. This chamudot ata is so incredibly important because it refers back to the original nature of tefillah. The idea of tefillah initially is that Bria is created specifically as being unable to function unless there is a human intelligence involved. Which again took thousands of years for people to figure out that even on a mechanical world, there has something to do with the nature of consciousness in terms of the actual physics of it. But that very fact, the way that Chazal expressed that fact is that, what do I need to talk for? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu mit'aveh l'tfilatan shel tzadikim. Now the mit'aveh l'tfilatan shel tzadikim is desire. It's the same desire that we used for sexual desire. But so is chamudot. Chamudot is chemda. Chemda is libido. It's not saying that you are ahuv. It's saying you are chamudot. The importance of chamudot is that there is no other measure of the nature of tefillah.
Desirable?
Yes, it's desirable, but it really talks about tava. It's a sexual desire to say chamudot. Even when we talk, there's elements of lust in it. It's not open. When we talk about chemda, chemda means something that you want. Lo tachmod eshet re'echa is there, not because there's even a din of lo tachmod on a woman, fascinatingly enough. It's there only as a gilui of the nature of chemda. It's not a cold intellectual want. It has to be something that you feel for. So again, it's obviously...
Covet
is a very good translation because to covet has in it sexual elements. Right? That's the point. It could be highly sublimated, coveting, but it touches something in you that you feel is not rational and touches on the underlying drives that are within you.
Reducing it to physicality?
No. It has nothing to do with reduction of physicality. It has to do with it being non-intellectual, but being the way in which I feel things have to be me. The idea, the drive that we have to couple is the recognition that I am not me. That's the Alkein Yazov Ish et Aviv et Imo v'Davak b'Ishtav Yulba. I don't feel that I am yet myself as an isolated entity that has not found a way to continue to be creative. Right, that's the Davak Mishto, and then Vayulaba Sarachad, and so on and so forth. So the drives for creativity are obviously all sexually linked. So we could sublimate that, but this is the ultimate creative drive. This is the one of the problem between the sexes, is that the women are able to create and have babies, and that now is sublimated very strongly in men, and creates all of these problems, because they can't do this, and then you have the other idea, which is the penile envy, in psychological terms, very stupid terms, in existential terms. The idea of not being linked to anything specific and the craziness of that is also desirable. So the idea of chamudot ata, in terms of Daniel, if you think about it, the only thing that allows entities that have really nothing to do with each other to connect to each other is desire. Is that not so? If I wouldn't know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mit'aveh l'tfilatan shel tzadikim, would I have the guts to get up there and say any of this? Forget about the intellectual guts. Would I feel emotionally capable of speaking as if this matters? Of course not. Exactly the same way if some woman who is a clerk in the White House wouldn't know that the president desires her, would never talk the way that Monica Lewinsky talks to the president, right? But the moment he needs me in terms of desire, now we're equals. So if we're equals, nothing stands in the way. There's no social issues that are involved. Desire is the great leveler. And on that level, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, this to me is what I want out of my world. I want you. I need you. I love you. This is the way in which the world was made to express that interaction. Therefore, what point in history would we have a profound expression in almost raw terms of that idea at the moment that for the first time we have a tefillah that actually touches on the underlying vision of the concept of Geula, which of course was the basis of the whole Bereishis. It was the Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reishis and the vision of Rucho Shomashiach, Merachefet Al Pnei HaMayim, and so on and so forth. So when Gavriel comes along and says, look, you gotta know, he really likes you. Now, that is a response to the whole union of Tefillah. So this is an amazing moment, and the Medrash links this to the idea of what he's actually saying in the pasuk. The truth is, b'tchilat tachanunecha yatza davar, we'd already made up our mind to do what you asked at the beginning. But we didn't want to tell you, because then you would have stopped davening, and chamudotata. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitavel tfilatan shel tzadikim. So I mean, we're sorry to put you through this. We could have told you, but then we wouldn't have had any fun. So, you know, just to keep it even, it's an amazing explanation of the simple meaning of the pasuk. Actually, b'tchilat devarecha, and I'm sent to tell you, but we had to delay it, ki chamudatata. Okay, so this is a profound moment. It's a real changeover in which what began, as we saw very early on, it began with a commitment to tefillah in terms of the Migdash Ma'at, in terms of the nature of Avoda that Daniel had. He hadn't grown at that time to the point where he had even a concept of the idea of Geula as a cosmic thing. So, and when he had all of these visions, he was totally wrecked by it. Just shattered, completely shattered. We listened to him putting himself back together again, in which he says, so what am I going to do, lie here forever? So I realized I better get down to business. So I pulled myself together. That's literally what he says, the way we'd have said it in English. I pulled myself together and got back to work. And then we go directly into this pair. So that means that now he took the first early steps that he had, which were in a way very primitive, because it was just a translation of the nature of the Avodat HaKorbanot into a Migdash Ma'at, in which there still is this importance not to achieve things in tefillah, but to serve in tefillah, to become different in tefillah. Avodah Shebelev, and so on and so forth. This idea is completely different. It's to change the nature of reality through tefillah, which is the way it was put originally. So now the steps that he took early, and he was Moser Nefesh, remember, for his tefillah. And he was sitting there when they were trying to figure out a way to get him off of getting hung, you know. Oops, sorry, time for Mincha. I mean, it's crazy. But now we can see there has been a whole pattern over here in his life, in which he was gradually recognizing that the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, in a sense, is a gain, because it pushes us into the more primal position of what this is all about. And I obviously have to respond on that level, even though, who am I? Now he knows who he is. He's Monica Lewinsky. No, that makes a tremendous difference. Well, obviously I'll call the president in the middle of the night. Why not? He'll be very happy. That's exactly the point, right?
There's an additional layer of the time is saying Sakha Eber. Is that necessary to achieve this?
Yes, of course. Of course it is, because that's what we're saying. It's the complete... This is, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Taniyot, that the nature of the Tanit is to make a person drop out of his comfort zone. There is no comfort zone. If you hold on to your comfort zone on any level, you're certainly not going to be able to say everything stinks and everything that we've done until now is no good and so on, you know, as you're chomping on your steak. But what is that supposed to mean? The whole idea is that I can't even relate to anything. I just feel that I don't even belong here. So this now is a real discovery, is a real new level of avodah, and it very much goes hand in hand with the ultimate recognition, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Earlier on, we saw, poor Daniel, what is he going to, is I going to lie to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Ayala Gadola Gibor Vanora, when I don't feel that way? And it's out of this whole process of recognizing that what appeared to be losses end up now propelling you forward into gains, into understanding that in Hester Panim lies much deeper growth than from continuing doing the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash. This is also shocking. So this was a turning point. It was a turning point that then goes on into the period of Esther, in which he's very active, where the period of Esther was an open issue of whether randomness is more valuable than Hashgacha Pratis. I mean, that's literally what was going on. This was a major question among people. What right do you have to do all of these things? And the only time that we record that a takana was not really acceptable by everybody, and most people went along with Mordechai Ratzoi L'Rov HaChavim. It's a crazy thing to say. You're celebrating everything. Make pretend. We can't make pretend. That's the whole point. This is a very difficult transition. And then this goes on now to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, where they now reinstitute it. That's why they're called HaGdolah. They put it back in. There was no HaGdolah Gibor Vanoran. They put it back in. Says Gemara, Lamanik Rushman, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, because of that understanding that there are deeper ways of expressing Gadol Gibor Vanoran than the mechanical. You're saying, so what happened? There was no lightning strike that blows up Titus. Lightning strikes are for babies. That's the point. It's time that you mature and understand that sometimes a much more powerful, so to speak, lightning strike can take 1,000 years and change the whole nature of reality in people's minds. And that's much more important than lightning strikes. What does that show? What meaning is there in it? Obviously, the first stage of such a thing was the Yetziyah Mimitzrayim. We're also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is a conversation. Look, tell him, if I wanted to kill him, if I wanted to destroy the whole country, if I wanted to take the world and turn it, do you really think that this is a problem? The only reason that we're doing this gradualism, and you see it's not a problem, you schmo. The only reason we're doing this gradualism is for you to understand that there needs to be change. It's not going to do anything if I recreate the world. What's the point in that? You guys need to figure out something. It's Laman Tedu. That's what it's all about. That's what he says to Moshe. What do you think? Well, you didn't save your people. Oh, I didn't push the red button. Right? Why didn't you push the red button? And that was exactly what the Chazal say to the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go speak to Paro. Speak? What do you mean speak? Give me some A-bombs. I'll take care of it. No. What's the point of discussions? It's an amazing conversation. And at the end of it, and the whole thing doesn't do anything, I told you there was no point in this. Now push the red button. That's exactly the idea. So this is a massive change, and this is the first time we see how profoundly Min HaShamayim the response of this. Baruch Hashem, there's a kid here that gets it. So he's a kid. Well, he's sort of an old kid, but he's, as we pointed out, that's the idea of Daniel, is the first, it's the child. It's interesting, but Rav Tzedek points out a beautiful thing, that Avram Avinu is called the kid, essentially. In other words, why do we always learn out Zrizut from Avram? Vayashkem Avram, but there's plenty. Because the point of Zrizut is the youthfulness. So you're saying, but Avram is 150 years old. That's not the point. The point is he's the beginning. And in that sense, he's the youth of the nation. This is a new beginning. It's still naive. It's still primitive. It's still open with that youthful enthusiasm. This is the new idea. And it's the kind of thing you look back to the first years of television were so much nicer than it. But they were only black and white, and then everybody looked completely artificial. Oh, but it was so geschmack. You know, and it's exactly this. This is the Chamudotata right at the beginning of the process. And so now let us continue to get the information. So the Malach tells him, Ubin Badavar, we want you to think carefully about what you thought was happening in the Davar that was given to Yirmiyahu, and Havein Bamar'eh that I'm about to show you. Now the truth is, what he's really telling to Daniel, in other words, Daniel, my son, you should have been tipped off by that 70 chance. because that's a dangerous number. And it's interesting, every child comes back in this country with that famous medrash, Kol Hashivin are always Chavivin, right? You've heard that here. All my kids, all my grandchildren. There's one point where they're going to come back and they're going to pin that on the wall. So everybody knows. It's all a story about sevens. And the Medrash goes through the seven seas and seven continents and seven alofim of the seven days of the Shvius and Shabbos. And it's all about sevens. When you started hearing sevens, you know how many levels to sevens there are. And we understand what you were trying to do. It was very sweet with the thing about the 70 Shemitahs, and now the 70 years are over, and so on. But unfortunately, it's not that simple. So, we don't deny that there was a 70 on the simple level, which you have a right to ask for, and we've accepted it. And therefore, there will be a 70. But unfortunately, there are other levels of 70s. Maybe 70 periods of 7 years, maybe. What about that? Of course not 70 periods of 70 years. That gets us exactly up to, if you think about it, 70 years from the Churban till the Binyan. 420 years of the second Beit HaMikdash. The second Beit HaMikdash stood for 420 years. It's a remarkable coincidence that if you take the 70 that he now understands is for the Chorvot Yerushalayim, and you turn it into 70 Shemitah, which is now 490 years, it ends right after, at the moment of the Churban of the second Beit HaMikdash. So there really are 77s. Of course, going all the way back to Lemech, you know. This happened with Lemech. Lemech says, Shivatayim yukam tayin. So Lemech should be Shivim v'Shiva, as Rashi says. Just multiple Shivims. Whoa, when you heard those words, you knew there was a problem, didn't you? But you don't want to face up to the problem. Yeah, so this is the problem. The problem is that, as you understood initially, it was all multi-level. So now, you spoke about 70 years, connect the Shemitahs, and now we pretend that during the 6 years of every Shemitah, nothing happened. There were no Averas, there was no Gilei Arayas, there was no Shvichas Damim, there was no Avodah Zorah, all of that we should pretend never happened. We're only interested in the Shemitah. We're only interested in the Shemitah in terms of your relationship to the Oretz. That's true. So guess what we're going to do for you? We are going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash at the end of the 70 Shemitah. That's because you asked so nicely. But there also has to be a tikkun of the entire period, which of course includes the 6 years out of the seven, not only the seventh year. So therefore the entire tikkun is 70 Shemitahs, meaning the whole 7 years, not just the year of Shemitah. That's a different level of meaning to the 70. And what that means is that very sadly, what you have been looking forward to as an expression of the grand Geula is not a grand Geula. What it actually will be is the building of a bayit that will be very poorly expressive of the powers of the Beit HaMikdash. It will be b'tzoka edim, as we'll see, in the toughest of times. You'll be laboring under foreign powers and domination, and with all of the challenges that will give you a great opportunity, because it's a trial run. That's what it is. We're giving you 490 years of trial run, of relative. You think it's been tough. Let me tell you, if you think this has been tough, you don't have any idea of what's coming. But it can be avoided. So if this trial run actually works, and you guys end up at the end of 490 years with a functional Beit HaMikdash, with a tikkun of the Gilui Arayah, Shlichus Damim, and Avodah Zorah, with a desire for Geula, and of course without the absurd descendancy into splintering and Sina and mutual destruction, which of course will ruin the entire thing and will put us back into the Dor HaMidbar and the Meraglim with their Lashon Hara. So, I mean, you wouldn't want to go back there. That would be a very bad idea. So we're going to have a trial run. And if you can manage to hold out at this trial run for what you think is tough times, at the end of the trial run, then there's going to be a real Beit HaMikdash. Unfortunately, if the trial run doesn't work, Well, then we were talking about that other cheshbon of the thousands of years and so on. I'm afraid we'll have to do it the hard way. So this is very disappointing, in a way, because it means that there never was a plan for a real geula that he thought was going to be a shleimut, everybody nice, back under your palm trees again, and it's lovely. Retirement, that was never in the cards. But it was certainly a possibility to use this relative peaceful period and a relative Beis HaMikdash compared to at least the Churban of living in Bavel to try out the idea of the Mesiras Nefesh for the building of Eretz Yisrael and for the caring for what it is to be a Ben Yisrael and so on and so forth. And then it's not so bad, it's just 5 centuries, come on. Passes very quickly, and then you can have the geula that you like. So let's see this insight.
Did we blow it by asking for the removal of the Eitz Sahara in the beginning, which by definition was actually the kind of the center we wanted, and the Dumas that started off?
I don't know, this is a Barnea way too much for me to keep up with. But maybe we'll be Zohar to be Amir on it. It's a beautiful horror. So in reality, it was Shivim, but it wasn't Shivim years. It was Shivim Shavuim that was Nechtach al Amcha val Ir Kochecha. It's 490 years that is needed, L'chaleha Pesha, to get rid of all of the Pesha that had infected you. Ula teim chataot, ula chaper avon, ula havit tzedek olamim. This is a minimal requirement. I mean, you're talking about universal justice. I mean, you really think that you're ready for this? Come off it, man. It's been 70 years. Very little has been accomplished other than people willing to consider the nature of their personal chataim. You have come into a matzav of recognizing that nobody's ever been a mensch and that you've taken advantage of things and that there's been no responsiveness. But to talk about the universals, lachtom chazon v'navi, that everything should now work and everything should be interlinked and should work out perfectly. V'lim shoach kodesh kodashim, and now we're ready for absolutely mega kedusha in 70 years? No way. They're almost over. So that in order for there to be a limshach, kodesh kodashim, and what there's going to be now, an ultimate melech, a real mishichach, that is above and beyond everything that we consider to be perfectly specified, dedicated, clear, that's going to happen. Maybe in 490 years, maybe it could happen. Now, but what you do have to know is a lovely thing, and that is because of your tefillah, min motza davar la shiva levnot Yerushalayim. So, from the time that we've been talking about over here, in which we're telling you to think about a rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Yes, there is, in fact, a rebuilding of Yerushalayim, ad Mashiach Nagid, until there comes a time for... So until the time that Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, and will be rebuilt, and until the time in which, maybe not Mashiach Kodesh Kodashim, but Mashiach at least a Nagid. Now, this Mashiach Nagid, we know who the representation of Mashiach is, strangely enough. Ko Amar Hashem LeMashichi Koresh. He calls Koresh the Mashiach, because he's the Choshava one that is doing what needs to be done for me with the Koresh declaration. Now, in a literal sense, at the same time that there was a Koresh declaration, there really was the Mashicha of a Kohen Gadol. So you had now the son of Yotzadok, Yoshua Kohen Agadol. That's also a Mashiach Nagid. You also had the Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, which is also a getter of Mashiach Nagid. He was appointed as the governor of Yehuda. So there are elements. You want some level of just pretending that it was only 70 years. We'll give you that. And there will be a rebuilding in the 70 years. There will be a Mashiach, not the Mashiach, but a Mashiach at the end of 70 years. And this is to the Churvot Yerushalayim. And you should know that all we really need at that remaining is V'shavuim Shishim Ushnai Toshuv, that it will be 62 of those years, of those Shvi'iyot, where it will be built, V'nivneta, And Yerushalayim will function. There will be streets, rechov, there will be charutz, there will be a moat around the wall. It's going to be really nice, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough times. It's going to be underneath the Shibud. It's going to be Persians, and it's going to be Greeks, and it's going to be Romans, and it's going to be all kinds of fights. It's not going to be a great happy time. But if we figure the years, so that means from the time of the Churban until Koresh shows up, and he's going to build Koma Hashem LeMishicho, the Koresh, Hu Yivne Iri, he will build my city. This is exactly what it's referring to over here. And he, the Golotai Shalak, he's going to send the Goloyot back to Eretz Yisrael. And that will happen really only, not much time, total of 7 Shemitot. That's all. So from the time until now, Koresh will appear. This is the Gemara said. I mean, so what do we do about the original Shivim? I mean, it did say Shivim. That will be there. There will be, in fact, the ability for him to appear. And this will be only at the end of 49 years. Why? Because when it says 49 years, it means not literally 49. Because, again, there's half years, and we're talking about Shemitahs. If you're talking about Shemitahs, all we need is 7 Shemitahs. So we have 70 years from the beginning. That's the simple meaning of Shivim. And that was from Churvot Yerushalayim to Churvot Yerushalayim. We have 70 years from the time of Bavel. Because 70 years from the time of the Aliyah of Nebuchadnezzar, in which he makes his first impact, it's exactly 70 years until the Koresh proclamation. Remember, Dayavish is only here for that 1 year. Comes along Koresh, makes his proclamation. There's lots of levels in which the literal meaning of the 70 takes place. Now, you wanted to talk about Shemitahs? Okay. There's also, all we need is 7 Shemitahs. How do you like that? Another 7. 7-7. How are there 7-7s? Again, these are multiple interpretations, and we're trying to show that, you know, they all work. They all work at some level. Because remember that it was 18 years between that original Aliyah of Nebuchadnezzar and the actual Churban. We had the 11 years that we had. Are you there, Tzidkio? Hello? We had 11 years of Tzidkio, and then we had the 7 years in which there was the earlier first level of the Galut, which people were taken out, but not the entire population. So, okay, it's 18 years more to go. So that means that basically we've got 52 years in total, correct? Because if we look at the 70, not from the Churvot Yerushalayim, the difference between them is that 18 years is 52 years. So that is 7 Shemitahs. 49 years plus the pieces of years that are in between the Daryavish and the Koresh and so on. So in that sense, we're going to see that we make up for that extra Shemitah before and after in a minute. But all you got to worry about is 7 Shemitahs. 49 years, not a bad deal. And then that will leave over, just 62 Shemitahs to go. Where there's one Shemitah missing, if you consider. But that one Shemitah is the partial Shemitah that we just had, the difference between the 49 years and the 52 years. And then at the other end, we've got a problem with the other Shemitah because of the Bitul HaTamid. So that also occurs before they put together those two pieces, and you've got the missing single Shemitah period that needed to have 490. That's a question. We'll talk about the exact timing, because there's a lot of Shitas among the Rishonim. Again, the Pashtus of the Gemara is that as soon as they stopped giving the gold, the korban in exchange for the gold, that was like an instantaneous korban. That was it. Then they were able to be shalit on the city. So it could be that the bittel of the korban is not really the bittel of the tamid. Maybe they couldn't afford a lot of korbanas, but at least they were able to pay for the tamid. So that it means there was a bittel of other korbanas. Or maybe things are not so partial. Maybe it wasn't instantaneous. It doesn't mean it was instantaneous. Maybe it was only instantaneous in terms of Vespasianus. Then he was called to Rome, remember, because he suddenly got the crown. So then Titus takes his place. So then there's those extra 7 months. There's a lot of different cheshbonos. But in any event, acharei ha-shavuim, shishim u'shnayim. So at the end of 62, additional 7-year periods. Yikaret Mashiach Ve'inla. At that point, Rashi learns that this is a reference to Mashiach, refers to Agrippas. That Agrippas will be killed, and then he won't be there anymore. Mashiach over here, meaning not literally Mashuach, but Alosh Rav Chashivas, as it meant with Koresh, a tsar, someone that is looked at as being very, very important. And at that point, Ve'irva Kodesh Yashchit Am Nagid Abba. And then there will be this is a reference to the Romans, in which a whole slew of people that will come with the Roman legions, they will come, they will wipe out the city, they will wipe out the Kodesh, and this will be the situation. V'kitzo bashetef v'at ketz milchama nechretzet shamimut. Until the final war. This, of course, is the Melchemet Gog u'Magog, the Pashtus, if it's going to get that bad. In other words, this is the bad side. If it doesn't work out, then this is what's going to happen. And that is a reference to the thousands of years that you were talking about before. So it's really going to be the same people, because it's the West. V'higbir brit l'rabim, and they will start. Titus will actually try to make a deal to the great people. To the Chashuvim, to Sarei Yisrael, as Rashi understands it, for Shavua Echad. So there will be, in fact, 7 years of, and the Gemara talks about the way in which the Romans initially viewed Yisrael. And it's very interesting because the historians at the time, and Josephus, viewed Titus as being a nice guy. He didn't really want to destroy Yerushalayim. And just the Jews insisted on continuing to do the most awful things until they got themselves wiped off. But he, in the end, although he made this, he really turned against them in the end. V'chatzia shavua, so this is the missing half a week plus the other half week on the other side. Yashbit zevach u'mincha. So that's the question. It may be that zevach u'mincha is not a reference to the Tamid. Maybe it's reference bichlal to the general korbanos. And then v'aknaf shikutzim mishomem, aknaf shikutzim mishomem, v'atkala v'necharatza titach al shomem. So now aknaf, one way of understanding aknaf on the wing, is on a high spot, meaning on the makom hamikdash, where after the whole rebellion, which Hadrian decides to put up a Roman temple, and then there's a shikutz, not just a pesha, that we saw earlier, which is actual avodah zorah that is there, or the way which we'd say it in English, nobody understands why the Abarbanel learns it this way. Al knaf, we would say in English, and on the wings of, which means as a result of. He doesn't even explain it. Where did they get that from? But it's very clear to us. On the wings of the shikutzim b'shomeim, that brought finally, this is a way of referring to avodah zorah, or, as we saw earlier, it's not avodah zorah till the end, because the Muslims don't have an avodah zorah, but they have mishomeim. It's just disgusting. It just doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. It can't speak. There's no intelligence. There's no development. It's just like watching things rot, decay. That's sort of shimama. So it's just, and from that point, on the wings of that, and watching all of this, will only last until finally we just can't take it anymore. At kolav necherat, until finally the end of this is necherat. It's absolute destruction. Titach al shomeim will fall over the heads of that emptiness that is sitting there on the Harabayit and turn everything around in a final kates for Geulah.